It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome back to the second hour, Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. I'm your host today, guesting for Ernest. It is Mark Stevens, my website, markstevens.net. I actually have somebody logged on listening to the show in St. Petersburg, Russia listening. So, hey, welcome aboard. Don't know any Russian except for, well, I don't know any Russian, but welcome aboard. I appreciate tuning in today. If you want to join me here on the show, you may do so. The number is 218-632-9399, 218-632-9399. And you can also Skype me during the show. It's Frank Rizzo 3. That's Frank Rizzo with the number 3. You can also join the No State Project chat, No State Project, where we're sticking to the man one show at a time. I want to get back to your calls. Let's see. I don't remember the name, but you're back on the show, and I got to make this quick. We got to move this along. You got to question do you have for me?
Good. Okay, the lawyer said to the judge a very, very big lies. In other words, I became like a thief.
Can you prove the lies, though? Can you establish that they were lies? I mean, do you have the evidence to show to the contrary?
Not only that, but the judge didn't allow. In other words, when he explained my problem, the judge didn't allow us to explain.
When you say us, did you have an attorney working with you?
Yes, of course.
Well, that's part of the problem. What we're going to do is, this is more appropriate either off-air or on my show, the No State Project, so I invite you to tune in and call on Saturday during my show.
Saturday? What time?
We're on from 3 to 5 Central Time.
Central. And also, one more thing. I need to call an attorney because I have a very... 2 weeks' time for appeal, and the reason that I called was mostly for that.
Oh, I would initially file a motion to vacate or reconsider the decision, and I would need a little more information. But I can help you. But you contact me off air about that. Mark Stevens at markstevens.net, and tune into my show.
Unfortunately, I need to. I don't have a computer. That's my problem.
Well, you can still listen to my show and call in on Saturday. It's just that...
Saturday. I will do that. Thank you so much. And I need to call another person, but I'm always afraid because they always listen to my phone calls.
I understand, but listen and call in on Saturday, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. You're listening to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. I'm guest hosting today. My name is Mark Stevens, and we're taking your calls. 218-632-9399, 218-632-9399. I want to go back to another caller. We have, looks like New Hampshire again, area code 603. You're live on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Jody. I'm calling from New Hampshire.
Welcome to the show, Jody.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're live on the show.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I sound like one of those people now. I'm sorry. I always get upset with them when they don't talk. I have a court date that is coming up at the end of the month, And my concern, and I'll try to make it really brief, my concern is how this is going to appear. It's a speeding ticket, how it's going to appear on my record, because I am a student, and to obtain financial aid, you can't have anything as far as a criminal record or anything. And it says on here that it's a notice of hearing. It's a criminal hearing, but it's for a speeding ticket. And I'm just concerned about how this is going to show up on my record and things like that. So can you kind of help me out with that or lead me in the right direction of who I need to talk to?
Well, you need to talk to me. So you made the right call. So you're doing good there.
Okay.
Nothing's going to go on the license or should go on the license unless you are convicted.
Okay.
Now, you're saying it's criminal. How many miles an hour over the limit are they accusing you of going?
They're accusing me of going 91 in a 55.
Did you say 91 in a 55?
That is what I am being accused of, yes. And I drive a 99 5-speed Toyota Camry. I don't think the hamsters can go up to 90 in my vehicle.
How is this officer claiming to have, you know, did he estimate it or did he have a radar gun?
I believe on the ticket it said that it was by a radar is what he had put down on there.
Okay, well, because that would explain why a speeding ticket is considered criminal. He just gave you the ticket. He didn't bring you down to jail, did he?
No, I've not been to jail, no.
Oh.
I had to go down to go plead guilty or not guilty, and I was... I hate to admit it. I was scared. So I just said, no, I'm not guilty. What do I need to do now? I just did not want to admit to anything until I had a chance to talk with somebody because I'm just, it's all very, it's a little bit intimidating in how this is all working out so far.
Well, I understand. And I don't know how much you've listened. Are you familiar with my radio show, The No Stay Project?
I've been listening to you for about 45 minutes.
Okay. You see, public humiliation is kind of my forte, and I should know better than to ask a question such as that. Okay. Well, this is one of the things that I do on my radio show is we take a lot of calls like this and helping people with, you know, dealing with tyrants. And so we do that here also on LRN.FM on Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m. your time, Eastern time. And so you can also call then. What I would suggest doing is finding some people. Are you near Keene or Nashua?
I'm in Manchester.
Oh, you're in Manchester. We have an affiliate in Manchester. What I would do is get up on my forum, markstevens.net, and get on the forum and get in contact with some people in the area. And what you want to do is we want to get somebody either on the forum or someone that you know that can go to the hearing with you and be a representative from the media, someone from my radio show, where they let the bailiff know ahead of time that they are there from the media doing a series of shows on judicial misconduct and that they want the judge to know out of courtesy that they're there to observe. And so this helps put the judge on really... Well, on much better behavior. So keep that in mind and sign up on the forum and do that. And I'll keep letting people know in the area because we are on in Manchester. Are you listening to the affiliate in Manchester? Is that how you're listening to the show?
Yes, it was actually. I found it in my vehicle. I'm in the house now, and I'm gonna try to find it here on the house radio and everything. Hopefully, I can get it. Can I also stream it online? I think you said.
Yes, you can. You can go to LRN.FM. And you can stream it online, and then you can go under the affiliates, and you can find out the FM affiliate that we have there. I don't remember if it's 105.7, but you can get it on LRN.FM. And when you listen to my show, you can get it on LRN.FM. You can also go to markstevens.net, and you can listen right there on my page. But to get to how to actually do this, what I have available is a motion to dismiss, and the way I go about it is to first show that a valid cause of action has not been filed against you, that the plaintiff has not pled that you violated their legal rights, which I'm sure if you look over the ticket, they have not done that, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Well, hold on. We're up. We'll be back in just a moment. Just hold on the phone, Jody. My name is Mark Stevens. This is Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock in the Freedom's Phoenix studio here on LRN.FM. And we're taking your calls today, 218-632-9399, 218-632-9399. Give me a call, and we'll take your call. Well, give me a call, and we'll be back with that in just a few moments. Don't go away.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to the live show today. Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. I am guesting for Ernest today. Here on a big show, if you want to join me. Of course, the number is 218-632-9399. That's 218-632-9399. And for those listening in New Hampshire, I just pulled this up. You can go to LRN.FM to see the stations airing the LRN.FM programming, but in Manchester it's 105.1 FM. I want to welcome back to the show from Manchester, Jody, welcome back to the show.
Hello, thank you.
All right, so you got 91 in a 55. Now, I drive a Camry, so I kind of dispute with you that it can't reach 91, but he probably got a job. But you still have the ticket, and you're going to court at the end of the month, and so what we're talking about before, that the way I would go about doing it, what I would just suggest doing, so I'll do a little civil disobedience here on Ernie's Declare Your Independence, and advise you that probably the best thing to do at this point is to attack the fact that there's no valid cause of action before you, because if you look at the ticket, I'm sure they did not accuse you of violating the plaintiff's legal rights, correct?
Right. It just says, to wit, that I, you know, was driving at a rate of 91, the prima facie lawful speed limit at the time of place of violation being 55 miles per hour, contrary to blah, 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 blah.
All right, so there's no actual valid cause of action that is set forth in the complaint. So what I have available on the website is I have some templates available. I also have scripts, and I am available for a one-on-one consultation. The template's available that you can download, and you can cross-reference it for New Hampshire. And then what we do, you know, you file that, and I have instructions on how to file that. And I always send a copy to the police officer, the one that actually gave you the ticket. You get his badge number, name off the ticket, and you send it to the police department. And 75% of the time, the cop does not bother showing up.
Okay.
So if you have to go to trial, 75% of the time he doesn't show up, even if they deny the motion or don't rule on it, they don't show up, which is really nice because typically they'll throw it out because the cop doesn't show up. And contrary to what some people may think, it's not because the cop was his day off and decided to, I'm not going to come in. They're on the subpoena to appear. So what they're doing is that, or the prosecutor has not issued the subpoena, or the prosecutor has told him not to appear, is what happened recently to some folks we know in Texas and Austin, where the prosecutor in court advised the cop not to comply with the subpoena. But I also have scripts available. Yeah, you believe that? In open court, advised the cop to not comply with the subpoena. Yeah. Well, it's just like with these situations with the IRS that I deal with, Jody. They don't want the agent who made the determination against you, whether it's a cop or it's all taxes anyway, the agent who's actually making the accusation, they will fight you from putting him on the stand. They don't want him to appear.
What's the reasoning behind that?
Well, the reasoning behind it.
So if they're so sure, they're so right, it seems like they would bring out their witnesses and everything. Why would they, you know, push aside their quote-unquote most reliable witness? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, you see, you just put the word in there, reliable. And that's the question that I pose in my latest article, where I have a 34-minute audio recording, an MP3 of a call I did with an IRS attorney in a pretrial conference. And I had asked her, if we subpoena your witness, the one who did the assessment, will you file a motion to quash? And she said, yes. And I said, well, I don't understand. Why would you do that? On what grounds? And she said, well, no grounds. You can hear it on my website, markstevens.net. And so you'll be asking yourself the same question. Why? Well, because it's all bluff, especially when you're dealing with the IRS. So what I have in my scripts, Jody, there is a number of questions so that you can have the prosecutor and the judge declare the witness against you incompetent. Now, I can pretty much guarantee that this is what would happen. Now, let's say you have to go to trial, okay? And the judge is just not listening to a thing you have to say. He just wants to find you guilty and take the money, that his money that's in your pocket. So you know that to make it look good, they still have to put the police officer on the stand, and they have to permit you to cross-examine him, to question him. So I'll tell you two questions that you can use to have the judge declare the witness against you incompetent, and it's based on a cause of action. So you ask the police officer. Now, remember, he's under oath. Mm-hmm. You ask the police officer, did you file a valid cause of action against me? Because just a little explanation. The courts, American courts, whether it's state, local, or federal, they're limited to only valid causes of action. All they can hear is a case. So if you look in their little codes, their sacred writ, the law, it'll tell you that the judicial power shall extend to all cases. Okay, and so you ask the police officer, did you file a valid cause of action against me? And he will be permitted to say yes.
Okay.
So the next question you ask him is, how many elements are in a valid cause of action? Now, they will not, in my experience, they will not allow the police officer to ever answer that question. And it doesn't matter that he knows it, because it's in the motion you sent to him. I give the all the, it's like an open book quiz. You give them the answer, people. They won't allow the cop to answer because they know if he answers the question, he won't be able to show it in his ticket. Therefore, there's a lot of egg on the face. They'd have to throw it out. So what happens, Jody, and you have to keep from laughing when they do this because you'll do it every time. The prosecutor will get up out of his chair and say, objection, calls for a legal conclusion. The witness is incompetent to testify. So what probably will happen is you'll call my show after you go to court. And you'll say, because this has happened many times on the show, Mark, I had to keep from laughing because exactly when I, just like you said on the show, when I asked that question, the prosecutor came out of his chair and said his witness was incompetent. But this puts the judge in a pretty bad spot because now he has to either allow the cop to answer the question or he has to sustain the objection, and that it means the witness against you is incompetent. Mm-hmm. So do you know? Now let me just quiz you here because you need to. You really should prepare for this because you want to protect your record. If the judge declares the witness's declares the witness incompetent, what is the judge then obligated to do?
I believe he's been obligated to dismiss his testimony because he's incompetent in his capacity as a police officer.
Well, he's not incompetent. You're right. In part, the first part where you're absolutely correct, the judge is now obligated to throw the testimony out. The cop is not necessarily incompetent to be a police officer. He's incompetent to be a witness against you. So that would require the judge to then, as you said, to throw it out. Okay? So stay in touch. Get on the forum today and let everyone know that where you are and so we can get some people in there to observe, okay?
How do I spell your website?
Well, all right. Just one sec. I'll be back in just a moment with Jody. My number here, 218-632-93.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. I'm your host today, guesting for Ernest. I am Mark Stevens. My website, markstevens.net. I want to bring back, we have Jody from New Hampshire. And Jody, you were asking me about my show, my website?
Yeah, how do I spell it? Because is it C or K? Or yeah, how do I spell your website?
M-A-R-C. And it's Stevens with a V, markstevens.net.
Okay, I think that's all I needed.
Well, excellent. Well, get on the forum. We'll get some people out there to help you and make sure that you have a a peaceful resolution to this.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're very much, Jody. You're very welcome, Jody. Have a good one. Jody Thanks. From New Hampshire. You can join me here on the show. Number 218-632-9399. That's 218-632-9399. We need to get that music stopped. You can also Skype me during the show. My Skype name is Frank Rizzo 3. That's Frank Rizzo with the number 3. I know I did that just to make it more difficult for everybody. And we need to get that music stopped. So hopefully someone's going to call in soon at 218-632-9399. Oh, what I was talking about before we took a number of calls. Morph is here at Freedom's Phoenix. We were discussing... Can we get the music's come? Yeah, from the hold. Yeah, that was, thank you. That was really distracting. Anyway, what we were talking about on the show here on Declare Your Independence, I was talking with Morpheus off air and about basically the emotional level of most people, including, of course, your average bureaucrat and judge, your local tyrant. And I've had on my show, the No State Project, a number of times. Some NLP practitioners, Joe Thomas and Alistair Kinnear. And, you know, we're in agreement that the average person, unfortunately, is at the emotional level, has the coping skills, the social coping skills of a 5-year-old. And that is really, really obvious when you're dealing with a judge. And this is why I always recommend you go in early when you have to deal with someone in court. Let's say, what Jim and his daughter have to do and anyone going to court. I know we have Jeff going in on Monday. You go in early to observe the judge and see what his mannerisms are and how he interacts with everybody. Because I've had them where they've listened to the most boring things, like Mike Jones in Phoenix. He sat there listening patiently for like an hour about the most incredibly boring appeal rules and this, and it was driving me. I wanted to kill both of these attorneys that were talking about this stuff. I don't know how he did it, but he did. But within a few minutes of me being there for my turn, my appeal, he was frothing at the mouth and screaming like a nut job. And it's because they're 5-year-olds emotionally. When we talk about police officers being 5-year-olds with guns, the moment they feel that they're losing control, which is part of the problem. They don't need to be in control. Why do you need to be in control? Why can't you have a civilized, professional conversation without feeling the need to be in control? But that's what they teach these people. They have to be in control because, after all, govern means control. So it's not a big surprise. You have to anticipate that. And you want to take the advice that they have in NLP that the meaning of your communication is the response you get. So if you're speaking to them in a manner, not necessarily what you're saying, but how you're saying it, and they're starting to yell and scream, you need to change your behavior, because that's not going to be very good at getting your objective. That is to be left alone. Unfortunately, that tends to be, at least when I do it, and maybe just from the fact that I'm from New York, that they start getting upset. Another is too, and why it's so important. You could go to jail. I mean, these people, you know, that's one of the reasons why they got this set up the way they do. It's all based on fear anyway. So they want to use fear to get you to back off of that particular point. So be very cautious and be flexible in your communication. If they start yelling, you have to take that as an indication that you have to change the manner in which you are communicating to them. Because obviously, I think they say 60-70% of communication is unconscious anyway. I want to get back to your calls. And if you want to join us, 218-632-9399, 218-632-9399. We have area code 818. You're live on the – Brian pointed that. You're live on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Oh, you're talking to me?
Yeah, area code 818.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I had no idea I was on the air. My name is Jerry Day. I'm in Los Angeles, and I'm a big fan of yours. I love your book, Adventures in Legal Land. I'm looking for that next book. Is it out yet, or what's up with that?
You see, Jerry, you want to continue the public humiliation. All the callers today, except for you, well, except for Jeff and yourself, had heard of me before. I'm working diligently on a new book, and I'm pretty much guaranteeing this time. I know, this year.
Okay, good. Well, I'll be looking for it, and I just have a question. I'm in California. Are you going to have your seminars out here, or are you staying in Texas?
Well, I'd be more than happy to come back out to California to do a workshop. I am going to be in McAllen, Texas again February 26th, so those interested, go to my website, markstevens.net, and sign up for that. But are you in the L.A. area?
Yeah, I'm in L.A. Actually, I just saw this phone number. I had no idea I was even going on air, but I'm extremely impressed by what you do and how you do it and how you think it through. And it's something that's going to help everybody. So that's all. And we'll be looking for that book. So well, I didn't have any other question for you.
Jim, I appreciate that. If you're interested in helping to get together something in the L.A. area, we can do that. You can contact me at markstevens@markstevens.net.
Okay.
One of the things is the expenses. I would not be flying to L.A. because I have family in Southern California, but we do need to get a nice conference room at a decent rate. So if we can, and anywhere you happen to be, if you want me to come out, we need 20 people prepaid at $75 per, and that includes the script and the motion template. So you're basically, and those are $50 together. So it's really $25 for the workshop, which is all day, and then you're also purchasing the script and the motion.
So the overall total is 20 people, 75 pre-committed.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. I got a number of friends that know your name and would love to see you come out to California. And you're helping people. Don't stop. Love you. Thanks for your taking my call.
Well, I appreciate it. Jim in Los Angeles, I appreciate that. And hopefully we can get back out there now that at least it stopped raining, which is good. I know I was out in Southern California for the holiday season. It rained for like 6 days straight. So not fun. I kept on saying to my wife, I heard all my childhood, it never rains in Southern California. But how that goes. I want to get back to your calls. We have area code 517. Area code 570. You're live on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Hi, Mark. Glad I finally got through. I guess, I don't know, the automated system wanted a passcode before, and now it actually gave it to me in the voice prompt.
It depends on when you called the last time, but what's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name's Brian. Called from Pennsylvania. I am familiar with you, though I haven't been on your site, I guess, since you changed it. Looks nice, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
I was listening to the IRS call that you had with the pre-trial conference.
Right.
I was hoping that you could help me better comprehend the distinction between res judicata and stare decisis.
You know, I don't know if you were the one who mentioned this on the I have it written down on the card that I was going to get to that, and I'll do that when we get back, so stay on. You want to join me here on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock? Number to do so, 218-632-9399, 218-632-9399, and we're going to discuss the difference between res judicata and stare decisis, so don't go away.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock from the Freedoms Phoenix Studio here on LRN.FM. That's the Liberty Radio Network. I'm guessing for Ernest today and tomorrow again. So make sure you tune in. My name is Mark Stevens. That's Mark, M-A-R-C, Stevens with a V, markstevens.net. I want to welcome back. We have Brian on from Pennsylvania. Welcome back, Brian.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I appreciate. I'm so glad. I get a lot of emails and a lot of. So I'm glad you called to remind me of this. But I did write it down this time, so I wouldn't forget. And I'd be damned if I almost made it the entire show, and I may have actually, not gotten to this. But you were asking the difference between res judicata and stare decisis. All right. Now, this is something that, of course, I was saying to this IRS attorney that they confuse the two all the time on purpose. And you'll understand, I think, better when I explain it. Res judicata is, of course, res, people, understand some Latin, means. I'm sorry?
The thing decided, right?
Right. It's the thing has the, yeah, the thing, meaning the facts. So if you go to court and you have a trial, I mean an actual trial. The facts that have been determined, it goes to, in front of a jury and both sides, they have the cross-examination, they're questioning, and they're questioning the competency of witnesses and the evidence. So the facts that are determined after a legitimate trial, let's just say trial, I don't have enough time to get into that, then that is, it's decided. They will not revisit the facts unless a higher court determines that evidence was admitted improperly. So that's what res judicata is, that the facts have been decided already. But facts are case-specific. Stare decisis, has to do with legal determinations. I don't know the exact... I don't know what stare is supposed to mean, but decisis means it's been decided, obviously. But that has to do with legal issues. So when you're talking about, let's say, interpretation of the Fourth Amendment or the Fifth Amendment or some provision of law, or let's say a court rule, then that's called stare decisis, that the court will not revisit a principle of law that has already been determined. And there's no constitutional thing for that. That's just something that judges do. They seem to worship what dead lawyers do. Of course, have said. And that is not case specific. That is so that you can go back to, let's say, Brown versus Texas, that says it's illegal and a violation of the Fourth Amendment to arrest someone simply to ascertain their identity. That does not just apply to Brown versus Texas. That applies to all cases. That issue of law has been settled. And so when you're dealing with taxes, they like to point to Supreme Court cases to say that your position is frivolous. So we'll bring an issue of fact, and they'll say, well, that's frivolous. The courts have ruled against you. That's a lie. Cases are fact-specific. You can't use stare decisis to settle issues of fact. Does that help?
I believe that is what I had thought. I thought that the res judicata was more so... regarding the specific things in question of a specific case.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Yes, stare decisis was more so a legal principle well settled.
Right, which is, it's a legal principle that is settled that applies to all similar cases. But res judicata only applies for those particular litigants. So if it was Brian versus Mark, the facts of that particular cause of action... Once we go to trial, unless there is shown that the evidence was taken improperly, then those are the facts and a discussion. And so that's where you get into these legal maxims where that Jonathan Swift borrowed from the courts when he wrote Gulliver's Travels, in which I use on the cover of Adventures in Legal Land, where black is white and white is black. So what it's in the new book, but it has to do with res judicata makes black white and white black. So regardless of the truth of it, if it's already been determined, but those litigants in this situation, these are the facts, and come hell or high water, you're not going to revisit it.
Right.
So that's why, I did put it in. So if the courts have refused to rehear the case or on appeal, that they don't hear those issues as to the competency of witnesses or the veracity of what was testified to it, they're not going to revisit it. So it doesn't matter how wrong it is. And I think that's probably why it's so difficult, even with DNA evidence at times, because there was someone just released after 31 years in prison, falsely in prison, why they're so reluctant to overturn a decision.
Right. Well, it could create turmoil with that.
Well, you know, whatever their excuses are, you've got innocent people in jail. You know, it happens all. I mean, you know, and it, you know, that are falsely convicted in the greatest system of justice in the world. And these IRS attorneys, what they want to do is they want. And I mentioned this in the phone call to her. I asked her. You know, she wants to say it's a frivolous argument, and you just ask them to be specific, and they can't give you one. She even says, "Well, let me back up. Let me take that back."
I have to say, I thought it was very telling that you could almost hear the nervousness or the angst in her voice while you appeared, at least, although I believe you were calm and collected, and to think that this individual that you were speaking to had gone to a brick and mortar establishment for close to a decade, if not more, to earn her stripes. That you know, this regular guy, so to speak, if you will, and I'm not trying to defame you, was able to, you know, put her back in her chair and having her bite her nails and sweat a little bit.
Oh, I don't think I appreciate the comment. And one of the things that I want to read, you know, have people understand is you don't need a doctorate degree in order to show that the IRS doesn't have a leg to stand on. These are not difficult things. A lot of it, and I tell people all the time in consults, Brian, the biggest part is not necessarily what to say, but it's keeping your emotions in check so that you can focus and not be intimidated by what they're doing, so you can stay on point and say the right things. That's the difficult part, is to be able to emotionally detach yourself so that you can put on this act, because that's what I do. I had to keep more from laughing during that call than you know, being frustrated. But it's the emotional part that's so difficult. It's having to overcome that fear. And so I hope that when people listen to that, they'll be empowered to realize, hey, you don't need to be you don't have to have all this pomp and circumstance. You don't have to have a doctorate degree to do this.
Right.
Any one of us can do it. I will tell you, I got a little frustrated this morning on a call because they refused to accept my power of attorney. It's gotten so bad, those people in California, they absolutely will not accept the power of attorney from me, so I have to do these conference calls and actually have the client on the phone with me, which to me is frustrating, because if you hire me, you want me to do this, you should be able to go about your life and be productive. Let me get on the phone with these people. That's what you're paying me for. But in a lot of situations here in California, they won't let me do that. They won't let me just file the power of attorney and let me do the call, which is unfortunate. But I appreciate what you said, and let people know, and keep forwarding the link for the call so people can hear. And it's not an isolated incident. I do that all the time. The difference is I don't do it with IRS attorneys that often. It usually doesn't get to that point where I have to deal with the agent. So if you can feel confident in showing that the IRS attorney can't make a case against you, you should really feel confident, because the agent don't know nearly as much as the lawyers.
If I could, before you run out of time, you triggered another question that I was wondering how you I don't want to say get away with, but how you, I guess, circumvent and not, you know, risk other problems. When you were on that call, you did admit that you were his representative.
Yes.
And I'm just wondering, you know, what safety you have and knowledge, whether it's case law or whether it's anything, to not risk yourself by claiming that.
I am risking. And the difference is with the IRS in the... See, this is a tax court proceeding. And unfortunately, we're out of time. But in the tax court, you don't have to be an attorney. The judge just has to let you. So, but I appreciate the call, Brian. Keep listening. And call again. My name is Mark Stevens, sitting in for Ernest Hancock here on Declare Your Independence. Freedom's the answer. What's the question? I had a great time today. I'm looking forward to coming back in again tomorrow. Remember the call-in number, 218-632-9399, 218-632-9399. My website, Mark Stevens at markstevens.net, and you can contact me at markstevens@markstevens.net. If you have any questions or comments, you're dealing with a bureaucratic attack, feel free to contact me off air, and give me a call tomorrow here on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. Until tomorrow.